Turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15, and we'll be reading this morning verse 36 through chapter 16, verse 24. As we see here, the beginning of the second missionary journey of Paul, it starts in Acts 15, verse 36. And hear now God's holy, inerrant, and infallible word. After some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us return and visit the brethren in every city in which we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are." Barnabas wanted to take John, called Mark, along with them also. But Paul kept insisting that they should not take him along, who had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. And there occurred a sharp disagreement that they separated from one another, and Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and left, being committed by the brethren to the grace of the Lord, and he was traveling through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Paul came also to Derbe and Lystra, and a disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. And he was well spoken of by the brethren who were in Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted this man to go with him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those parts. For they all knew that his father was a Greek. Now while they were passing through the cities, they were delivering the decrees which had been decided upon by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem for them to observe. So the churches were being strengthened in the faith and were increasing in number daily. They passed through Phrygian and Galatian region, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And after they came to Mysia, they were trying to go into Bithynia, and the Spirit of Jesus did not permit them. And passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. A vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was stumbling and appealing to him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And when he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So putting out to sea from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace on the day following to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia, a Roman colony. And we were staying in this city for some days. And on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to a riverside, where we were supposing that there would be a place of prayer. And we sat down and began speaking to the women who had assembled. A woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple fabrics, a worshiper of God, was listening, and the Lord opened her heart to respond to the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household had been baptized, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and stay." And she prevailed upon us. It happened that as we were going to the place of prayer, a slave girl, having a spirit of divination, met us, who was bringing her masters much profit by fortune-telling. Following after Paul and us, she kept crying out, saying, "These men are bondservants of the Most High God, who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation." She continued doing this for many days. But Paul was greatly annoyed and turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out at that very moment. But when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities. And when they had brought them to the chief magistrates, they said, "These men are throwing our city into confusion, being Jews, and are proclaiming customs which it is not lawful for us to accept or to observe, being Romans." The crowd rose up together against them, and the chief magistrates tore their robes off them and proceeded to order them to be beaten with rods. When they had struck them with many blows, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to guard them securely. And he, having received such a command, threw them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. That is God's word. The first thing you might notice is that the reading there was somewhat different It wasn't only narrative, but it seemed as though Luke was there with Paul and Silas, as he kept saying, we did this, we did that. And so it's interesting to see that Luke was there, and yet he doesn't mention himself. But here Paul and Barnabas start on their second missionary journey, but there's some disagreement amongst them, as if they should take John Mark or not. He had deserted them before, and so Paul did not want him to go. Barnabas did. And we see the rest of the book of Acts basically is a story of what happened with Paul and not Barnabas. And so Paul and Barnabas go back, or Paul and Silas go back to those churches that Paul and Barnabas had planted before to strengthen them further still in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. At the beginning then of chapter 16, we're introduced to Timothy. The same Timothy we know of the books of Timothy, 1st and 2nd Timothy. We're introduced to him. He's a child of a mixed marriage. A mother is a Jew. His father is a Gentile. So Paul has him circumcised for the sake of the gospel, not to save him. As we just heard in Acts 15, Paul's not going against what he had already thought and what the council decided. But so that no Jews in that part would be hindered in coming to faith in the gospel because Timothy was uncircumcised. And so this was for the sake of the gospel. And we see Paul also takes Timothy with him on this missionary journey and missionary efforts that he goes with Silas and what appears to be Luke. Verses 4 and 5, we have a general summation of the work that was being done after that. They're going into the cities and the region, strengthening the already existing churches. Not yearly, not monthly, but daily, the church was growing in number. And as they move on to Macedonia and Philippi, they were being steered by the Holy Spirit to get there. He did not allow them to speak the word of God in Asia. Notice who is in control, who is sovereign over the preaching of the word and where it goes and to whom it is heard by. He did not allow them to speak the word of God in Asia. In verse 7, they were trying to go into Bithynia, but God the Spirit did not permit them. And there in Troas, Paul received a vision from the Lord calling them to go into Macedonia, which enabled them to speak to the women who had come to hear the word, and Lydia was converted there, and she and her household are baptized because she believed. And we see the continual work of God through Paul, showing forth that he indeed is sent by God because he casts out the demon. Only someone who is sent by God could do such a thing. And many, as the evil spirit was cast out of the woman, that led to many not making a profit anymore from her devilish fortune-telling. And so the moneymakers were upset, and they seized Paul and Silas, dragged them to the authorities. The crowd rose up against them. They were ordered to be beaten with rods and thrown into prison. And such is the promise to us also, that we too will suffer for the sake of Christ and for the proclamation of the gospel, that some may be saved from eternal death and granted eternal life, even though it might claim our physical, earthly, short life. And so here we're to be encouraged, beloved, that were the remaining faithful, or here you are men remaining faithful to the proclamation of the gospel so that Lydia would believe. And others would believe. And also here we see, again, where the word of God is allowed to go. It's based upon God, and so it's God to whom we must go and ask that the word of God be spread. Let's pray. Our Father, we do call upon you, the God who is our fortress and our rock, our strong tower, the God who protects us from all evil, even though in your protecting of us, we also suffer. And so, Father, we ask that you would allow us and give us this great wisdom that enables us to put together these two truths, that those who are heirs will be persecuted and they will suffer for your name's sake. And yet you do protect us. Lord, cause us, enable us to grasp those two true factual doctrines and truths and mesh them together. For they do mesh together. For you do protect us unto and preserve our bodies unto eternal life. And you'll raise our bodies up as new glorified bodies. And so we do praise you that though we might die, we thank you for what you have already given to us in eternal life in Christ Jesus through the gospel. And yet, Father, we do ask that you would heal those who struggle in their bodies. We ask that you would heal Josh and Patricia. We ask that you would be with Bob and Marie and Sharon and Dina and heal them, if that be your will on this earth. And Lord, if it is not your will to heal them, Lord, strengthen their bodies that they might serve you until their last breath on this earth. And they would hope in the new glorified body that they will receive, and that their soul will immediately pass into glory, being with you, being with Jesus forever and ever. Already guaranteed, sealed in the book of life. And Father, we call upon you. As we have read in this text, and it's very clear that you are sovereign over your word, and where it is heard, and where it is preached, and to whom hears it, to who hears it, and to who receives it. And so we call upon you that the gospel, if it be your will, that your word would go forth, even from this place amongst this small of people who are frail themselves and ourselves and are not God, who are not perfect. We ask that you would use the word of God through us, that you would use us as instruments to bring the gospel to people who are in the world, who are dying eternally, and who need help. And Father, may it even reach to the ends of the earth, that the preaching of the word would be heard by those across this earth and other nations. That a great number would be saved. And that the angels would rejoice. And we would rejoice with them. Over the sinner who repents. Lord, you are a great God, a sovereign God, a merciful God. A God who is King. And as our priest, we ask that you would hear our prayers. For we do pray in Jesus' name. Amen.